Every Sunday when I stand to preach, I'm standing among a flock of sheep. This Sunday, we have a few extra guests with us, so we're glad of that today. I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting with verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. I have received this command from my Father." The word of God for the people of God. My first appointment to lead a church was when I was a student in seminary. Bob, my husband, and I were sent together to serve Cedar Hill United Methodist Church. It was located north of Nashville in farm country. These wonderful people of Cedar Hill United Methodist Church welcomed us and our three-year-old son, Christopher, with open arms. But they had one concern. Up to that point, they had always called their pastor Brother so-and-so, like Brother Rick and Brother Dickie, and now they had a Brother Bob. But they looked at me, their first woman pastor, and they said, "What are we going to call you?" It was obvious that Brother Mary Beth was not going to work. So they called me Sister Mary Beth. Many of the older generation called me Sister Mary Beth. Over the years, I've been called many things, but some of those have been included minister or preacher or reverend. But the name that I use the most is pastor. I prefer this title because of what it means. If you go back to the Latin, you will discover that the word pastor comes from the root word shepherd. Shepherd and pastor mean the same thing. And in the verb form, as in to pastor, it means to lead to pasture, to set out to graze, to take to eat, to cause to eat. And there's something very compelling about that image, about the idea of being a shepherd for others, leading, caring, nurturing, encouraging, feeding, sacrificing on behalf of. The Bible talks a lot about shepherds. In fact, it uses the image for literal shepherds and also spiritual leader shepherds almost 200 times. But very few of us have actually met a shepherd, of course, in this day and time. How do we know how to take care of the sheep? How do we make sense of this metaphor? Mother Catherine lives at an Orthodox monastery in upstate New York. She's about this tall. One of her main jobs is to take care of the flock of sheep and the flock of goats at this monastery. And she invites adventuresome guests to go with her to the far fields where she has led those sheep, mainly, to eat. Green grass, beautiful, plenty of food. She wears boots under her long jean dress. And she has a head covering that only her face peeks out of, a black head covering, and her suntanned, sweet face is all that appears. She is the shepherd of the flock. And she leads them through the woods even to get to this field where the grass is so green and plentiful. And when she gets there, the youngest ones of the flock, the lambs who are just beginning to grow their wool, so cute, they come running to greet her. They know who she is, and she knows them. She knows their names. She has given them their names. And Mother Catherine makes sure they have everything they need. It's humbling for any one of us to imagine being a shepherd of the flock. As a pastor of a church or the spiritual leader of a group, especially when we have that image of our Lord as our shepherd, as we read in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God provides everything that we need. If we have memorized any chapter in the Bible, it's probably this one, usually the King James Version, which comes so easily to our lips. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God is our shepherd. What else could we need? And then in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." Over and over, we hear in this text from John 10, "I lay down my life for the sheep." A good shepherd is one that does not run away. When the wolf comes and starts nipping at the sheep, wanting to eat. But the good shepherd does whatever it takes to keep the flock safe, even giving his own life. This shepherd act, this act of love, is a sign of God's supreme love for us. It's a grace-filled gift that God gives in Jesus Christ. It is an image that gives us hope and strength, and it points us to abundant life. The Bible says that the work of the shepherd, though, is also the work of the pastor. And that's why it's humbling. There are letters written by Paul and others in the New Testament in the early church that describe church work. In one place it says, "The elders should shepherd the flock of God among you." And again, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock to shepherd the church of God." Paul says in another place, "Some people are called to be prophets, some evangelists, some teachers. Others have been called to be pastors or shepherds." It's a high calling. It's a noble profession. It is a gift from God. Around 400 AD, there was a man named Augustine who was a pastor and a bishop, which is a pastor of pastors, a theologian, and now we call him Saint Augustine. And he is said to have written this pastor's job description. So if you can switch back to language like it might have been in 400 AD, see if this list of job requirements of the pastor is still relevant. You be the judge. Here it is. disturbers are to be rebuked. The low-spirited to be encouraged. The infirm to be supported. Objectors confuted. The treacherous guarded against. The unskilled taught. The lazy aroused. The contentious restrained. The haughty repressed. Litigants pacified. The poor relieved. The oppressed liberated. The good approved. The evil born with. And all are to be loved. Does that still fit? Still work? I think so. So how do we, who are pastors, measure up to that? Even the best pastor has a hard time rebuking the disturbers. Have you ever tried to rebuke a disturber? It's not easy. And we even have a hard time loving everyone. Let's just admit it. But just as every Christian is called to look like Christ, so is every pastor called to be like the Good Shepherd. Leaders in the church are called to pattern their ministry after the highest standard. How can we provide for every need? How can we accompany each one through the valley, the dark valleys? How can we nurture growth and then give our lives for others? Wow. It's hard. Sometimes we fail. And other times, we just don't want to do it. One Sunday morning, a mother went in to wake her son and to tell him that it was time to get ready for church. To which her son replied, "I'm not going." "Why not?" she asked. "Well, I'll give you two good reasons," he said. "One, they don't like me, and I don't like them." And that was the second one. "I don't like them." His mother then replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. Number one, you are 54 years old. And number two, you are the pastor." So we come, we go to church. Pastors also deliver good news and bad news sometimes. The pastor stood before the congregation and said, "I have bad news, and I have good news, and then I have more bad news." The congregation got very quiet. "The bad news is the church needs a new roof." And the congregation groaned. They had a flat roof like we do. It's very expensive. "The good news is we have enough money for the new roof." Everybody started loosening up. Relief was heard rippling through the gathered group. Then he continued, "The bad news, it is still in your pockets." Well, those are the good ones. Other preacher jokes portray us as dim-witted and long-winded and very sinful. I'm going to challenge you to send me some preacher jokes this week, the clean ones. And some of them I will groan over and some of them I will laugh over. But there will likely be some kernel of truth. That's the way jokes work, some kernel of truth in them. We're easy to pick on because the standard is so high. The Good Shepherd is our model. And the reality is, as pastors, there are things that we need to admit. We should admit to our frailty, our sinfulness, our impatience, our less than adequately prepared sermons, our reluctance to sacrifice deeply, our lack of attention to our own prayer lives, our fear of failure, and our avoidance of knowing you deeply and letting you know us deeply, because it will be hard to say that inevitable goodbye. But thankfully, there is more. We are blessed by God's grace. Pastors are blessed by God's grace and your grace. And the chance every day to be the most Christ-like shepherds that we can be. Well, let me go off to another Bible story because it's so perfect. It's what happened to one of Jesus' disciples, Peter. You might remember how on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he was out there in the courtyard as Jesus was tried, denying each time someone said, "You are one of his disciples, aren't you?" "No," Peter said, "not me." Three times. Jesus could have said, I'm done with you, Peter. You're obviously not going to be faithful to me. You obviously are not what I need. But after the resurrection, when Jesus was gathering his disciples on the shore of Galilee, he went to Peter and said to him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And each time Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And Jesus said, "What? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Peter was called to be a shepherd, a pastor. And Jesus was making sure that he wasn't just the hired hand that was going to run away when things got rough. Peter was committed in the end to stick around even when the wolf attacked. And believe me, the wolf did attack the flock. Peter, it turns out, could be not only a pastor, but the pastor of pastors and the rock on which the church was built. Jesus trusted him with the flock, and Peter trusted his Lord Jesus, and grace abounded. So the Lord is our shepherd with a capital S. This shepherd never fails us, provides all we need, walks with us through the darkest valleys, knows us very well, and sacrifices everything, even life itself. But God also calls people, frail human beings, ordinary people, to be our pastors. They come and they go. Each one makes a mark on our lives. Each one is a channel of God's love and grace. When I was 3, I had no idea about what a pastor was or that I would be called to take care of the sheep, even though I should have had some premonition about that. I didn't know what a pastor was, even though my father took care of me, and then I knew he went to church and took care of other people too. And when the pastor, my dad, moved, I moved with him. So there was no having to say goodbye to the preacher. But gradually, I experienced the difficult part of leave-taking. Those youth directors that I loved came and went. And then, starting with Cedar Hill United Methodist Church and those faithful, loving people who called me Sister Mary Beth, I have had to say goodbye to 4 different congregations, 4 times. It is hard for me to do that. I don't like it one bit. In each place, though, our ministry has been mutual and uplifting, grace-filled, and life-changing. And when the time comes, here, we will get through it. The reason we do is that the Lord is our shepherd, with a capital S. When everything else changes, as it always does, this fact remains. Nothing will ever cause this good shepherd to go away. Always, the Lord will be with us. There may be other changes that you're experiencing in your life right now as well. Some of them may be good, some of them may be bad, some you may be not sure yet about it. So I invite you today to put your trust in the Good Shepherd. And we will pray for each other. Look around you. Who are you going to be praying for this week in this flock of sheep? We will pray for strength, for courage, for hope, for vision, for forgiveness. And it will come. It will come. I invite you to join me, first of all, by looking around as we come to prayer and seeing the sheep that are with you today. And who will you pray for each day? Include me in your prayers as well. And remember that the Good Shepherd is the one who's going to carry us through life. Always does, always will. Let us pray together.